Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Micah means, who is like Yahweh? That's why all of Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, because the name Micah, or Michael, means who is like Yahweh, who is like God, Michael. Some early aberrant Seventh-day Adventists believed that Michael the Archangel is Jesus. Well, if Michael the Archangel, if you believe Michael the Archangel is Jesus, your Jesus will not do you any more good than faith in Harvey the 6-foot invisible rabbit. You better get to know the real Jesus, the real Yeshua who created Michael, the one who is God, the creator as well as redeemer. Well, Micah ministered at the same time that Isaiah and Hosea, from about 632 B.C. to 608 B.C., Micah could be considered the confirmation and the second witness to Isaiah, as Isaiah could also be considered the confirming witness to Micah. Hosea also ministered at the same time as Isaiah and Micah. However, we see the strongest parallels between Isaiah and Micah. Micah gives perhaps the single most profound messianic prophecy in the Bible, Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. It's a very important verse. I would recommend everyone memorize that verse, Micah 5:2. You see how many false messiahs can be eliminated by knowing this one verse, that the one, the creator, who is also the redeemer, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, has to be born in Bethlehem, and any messiah claiming to be messiah, not born in Bethlehem, cannot possibly be the messiah. And that's why Nathanael received one of the greatest commendations in scripture. The Lord said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. He was complimenting Nathanael, because Nathanael knew the scriptures. Nathanael knew the word of God, because Nathanael knew that any Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem if he was going to be the Messiah, the true prophesied Messiah. Must be born in Bethlehem. It's very important that we read the Word of God the way God said to read it. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And of course, people that study it know.
People who have studied to be approved unto God
know that the only Bible available where we can get every word of God is the KJV, the Authorized Holy Bible, the one sprinkled by the blood of the martyrs, the God-promised perfect and only Holy Bible in English, and the Bible from which other language Bibles
are most often translated, but it's the only one where you can get every word of God. And it's very important to read it the way God said. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Before we go to the here a little, there a little, we need to know the context. It's very important because more often than not, the first time God mentions a word, we will get the best definition of that word that we're going to get from God's perspective. And number one, God cannot lie. And number two, God does not change. So the first time God mentions something, more often than not, we're going to get the best definition of that word that we're going to get in the Scripture. And God, of course, will always build upon that. Who knows the first place that word Israel got mentioned? Where did that word Israel first appear in the Scriptures? You know where you first run into that word Israel? Yeah, Genesis. Good. So it goes right back to the beginning. What was happening when that word Israel first was brought forth in the Word of God? What was happening? What was going on? Something was happening when that word Israel came forth. Remember? There was a wrestling match going on. Remember? Yeah, Genesis 32:28. Jacob, who represents all of mankind, I think. God so loved the world, so Jacob's kind of like all of us. He was sharp, Jacob was. He was strong. He was handsome. He was brilliant. He was witty. He was quick. He was tricky. He was resourceful. He had it all. He thought he was some sort of little god unto himself because he was good. Very few could stay with Jacob in anything. And in his Jacob strength, he wrestled with Jesus. Yeah, that's who he was wrestling with. He was wrestling with Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus wrestling with Jacob? Huh? Isn't that something? And at the end of the wrestling match, Jacob said, "You are God. I know who you are." He realized he couldn't, that he wasn't God, that he had a hold of God, though. He said, "Hey, you really are God. And I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll bless you. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince you have power with God and with man." Israel. Jacob was born again then. And you know, Jacob never walked the same. When Jacob became Israel, when Jacob became truly a part of the family of God, by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, that's why Abraham got saved too. Knowing that in our own strength we don't have what it takes to satisfy the offense to God's holiness of the least sin we've ever committed. There is no provision in the law of God for the willful sin. You study the law of Moses, the more you study it, you see there's no provision for the willful sin. And who has not committed a willful sin? But Abraham died in the faith that God would provide himself a lamb, that God would provide the necessary payment for the satisfaction of the offense to God's holiness. And that's just what he did. But Israel. Israel means born again. John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them who believe upon his name. Israel. Born again people. All born again people in Christ Jesus, Messiah, Yeshua. That's Israel. It's God's great and holy name that he got himself in the earth when he led the children of Israel out of their bondage of slavery in Egypt. It was the Lord Jesus Christ in that pillar of fire by day and pillar of fire by night. Israel. God's great and holy name. The family of God, the family name that born-again people are privileged to surname themselves with. All right, another thing that's important to understand is Ephraim. What does the Bible mean by this word Ephraim? All of us commandment observant Gentile believers in Messiah fit under that umbrella of Ephraim. I don't know why it is, but the Jews have always determined that if someone had a Jewish mother, they were Jewish. Well, the Supreme Court nuked that foolishness just recently, April 16th, this year. First time in history. Israeli Supreme Court nuked that one. But nevertheless, it's good that you understand that all of us born-again Gentiles fit under the umbrella of Ephraim. And Judah, what is Judah? Judah is going to be the righteous nation to emerge from the corrupt state of Israel when the four carpenters of Zechariah 1, 18 through 21, that appear to me to be late for work, they ought to get docked. It sure looks to me like they're late for showing up for work. But Judah is the righteous nation which will emerge from the corrupt state of Israel when the four carpenters of Zechariah 1, 18 through 21 finish their work and the Lord himself removes the veil and saves the whole nation of Israel in one day. Study Zechariah chapter 12. The nation of Israel will then be known as the nation of Judah. And when it is, you and I are going to be just as welcome there as anybody that's ever been born a Jew. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord that came to Micah the Morathite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Do you understand that this roadmap, this Antichrist roadmap, this roadmap from hell, do you understand that this roadmap is about establishing a terrorist state in Samaria and giving Jerusalem to the enemies of God's people? You understand that? Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. Let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord, from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valley shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. Do you see the last day's focus of Micah in the words, "Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. The Lord cometh forth out of his place to come down. The mountains will melt." That truly was one of the shortcomings of the Great Joy and Great Tribulation book, that Micah was not included in it. All of the minor prophets are exploding with detail regarding what is now unfolding on this earth. And there is much important instruction there in the book of Micah from God to his people. And here are some of the things that the prophet Micah has to say regarding these days in which we now live. Micah 2, first three verses of chapter 2. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. And therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which you shall not remove your necks, neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. This time is evil. Woe to the people that devise evil during the night, and rise up early to carry it into execution. It is bad to do evil on a sudden thought or to be overtaken in some sin, but it's much worse to do it with design and malice aforethought and evil planning. If covetousness reigns in the heart, compassion is impossible. When the heart is gripped with covetousness, then soon enough there will be violence and fraud. Look at the fraud of the government and court system today in the American culture of covetousness. Yes, I think that's a good description. The American culture of covetousness. The 501c3 church, by contract, preach a prosperity gospel in the face of the truth that Jesus said you cannot serve both God and mammon. It's bigger than a commandment. It's an impossibility that's preached everywhere. And we're soon going to see that the most haughty and secure in prosperity are going to be the first to take the mark of the beast and the most ready to despair in adversity. We'll witness this. Woe to those from whom God turns away. Woe to those who separate themselves. Be very careful of this. You don't want to do this. That is not the leading of the Holy Spirit. God must do the sanctifying thing. This is what religion is about. All religion is about self-sanctification instead of God doing the work of sanctification. Jesus said, because iniquity would abound, that the love of many would grow cold. And it's happening every day. People better stop justifying the separation from the people of God. And many today will treat you as an enemy when you would dare to tell them the truth. This time is evil. People in general do not like the truth. I'm glad y'all don't have to read my email. It's generally not too encouraging. Micah 2:6-7. Prophesy ye not. Say to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? You think God hasn't got enough power to do what he said he's going to do? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? You see, this word of God, it only works if you're willing to recognize it and receive it for what it is, truly the word of God. If you're willing to walk in it, you'll be blessed. But if you choose not to believe it and choose to go against it, either ignorantly or, God forbid, willingly, you're going to pay the price. Is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? Is the Spirit of the Lord grieved, loathed, troubled, angry? Yeah, I think that's safe. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is straightened. It is grieved. It is loathed, troubled, and angry. Yes. You see, a lot of people forget this. Lord Jesus Christ comes back to tread out the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. What could be more fearful than the wrath of God Almighty, who has the power to say, let there be light, rising up in wrath? That's the truth now. The Spirit of the Lord is grieved, even to the point of anger. Go ahead and say, prophesy not. Do you want smooth words? Is that what you want? Oh, we like smooth words, don't we? Do you want the words of the professional flatterers of the apostate churches? Is that what you want? They make you feel good. Since they say, prophesy not, God will take them at their word, and their sin shall be their punishment. Those who say, prophesy not, are enemies, not only to God, but to their country. Yeah. Those who would silence good ministers and stop the means of grace because they silence faithful ministers, they're the real traitors. Where can anyone be able to stand in this coming storm who have no reverence for God's word? Sinners cannot expect to rest in a land they have polluted. Unrepentant sin will destroy anybody. And when we apply this to our land today, in this present time, there's a corruption in the world through lust. And we better steer clear and keep our distance from it. This is not our home. And most saints today feel like strangers in the land in which they were born. Their heads are spinning. How could this stuff happen so fast? How could it get so out of control, so messed up and confused and twisted and turned around and perverted so fast? Here is not our home. We're like Abraham, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We have no continuing city here. We must diligently seek that city whose builder and maker is God, because they love not the truth. They are going to be damned. God said so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Because they love not the truth, they're going to be damned. They're going to be overtaken by a strong delusion. You can pick any strong delusion you want. You can pick any delusion you want, and God's going to make a strong delusion. Take your pick. Delusions are everywhere. Since they want to be deceived, God will let them be deceived. They got teachers. They love these teachers who teach self-indulgence. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the purpose-driven church. Self-idolatry. Self-esteem by their prosperity gospel. And their exemplary lifestyle of covetousness. Obvious, blatant lust and covetousness. And since they want to be deceived, God will let them be deceived. And this is something that ought to strike fear into all of our hearts right now. The fear of God is a very healthy fear. You want to pick a strong delusion, God will help you in it. That's what's so serious about people going into deception in this time. Oh, it may feel good. But in this time, see, God will make it a strong delusion. And you see these large flocks following them, following preachers of heresy, following them right straight to hell. While they say, prophesy not to the God sent prophets. Oh yeah, God provides prophets. That's the job of the prophet, to point the direction for God's people. And true prophets are about as welcome in the church as ants at a picnic. Because a true prophet is not going to flatter you. He's going to answer you according to your idols, and that don't feel good. And he can't no more help himself than the man in the moon. That's what a prophet does. He answers you according to your idols. You know, they have these people running around these churches that they call prophets. And what are they really? They're professional flatterers. Let me tell you something. When the prophet has the word of knowledge from God for you, you better have heard it first. Let that prophet be the confirming witness of what God has already told you if you're one of God's people. Wouldn't be a bad time for an amen there. In these last days, Micah chapter 2, 11 through 13 is a sure sign of the times. Verse 11 through 13. If a man walking in the spirit of falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be a prophet of this people. That's the kind of prophet people want, see. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold, and they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up. They have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. This is right now passage, brethren. This is a right now passage of the conversion of the Jews to Christ. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. The Lord would not only bring them from captivity and multiply them, but the Lord Jesus Christ will soon remove the veil over their eyes and open the way to God. The time is at hand. Now is the time. And soon we shall see this great work of his spirit in their hearts, breaking the fetters of Satan. King Yeshua is the only Messiah. The blindness is being removed. The people of God will follow that only good shepherd in his strength He will break through.
Yes, he's a God of breakthroughs. In his strength, he will break through the enemies that would stop their way to heaven. Hallelujah.
We're going to watch it. We're going to have a part in it, actually. God will let his people enter into this.
Sure beats any kind of religious foolishness and deception and feel-goodism, even holier-than-thou feel-goodism that you might think of coming up with.
Yeah, Micah chapter 3.
And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chomp them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron? Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths. They even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them, and then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Men cannot expect to do evil and end up well. Men cannot expect to do evil and end up well. It's just plain wrong to throw away the roadmap to that city we seek, the Ten Commandments of God's royal law of love, life, and liberty. Men will ultimately find done to them what they do to others. How do corrupt leaders hear truth that could cause them to turn from their wickedness and live? Well, they will not hear it. It's as simple as that. They will not hear it. And the sad truth today is that those truths will not even reach the ears of those in high positions or in authority, for most are worshipers of Lucifer. Those who deceive others are preparing confusion for themselves. I want you to think about that, but that's truly what they're doing. Those who deceive others are preparing confusion for themselves. The prophet has a passionate love to God and to the souls of men. The prophet of God has a deep concern for God's glory and the salvation of God's people, and a great zeal against sin. The difficulties God's men meet do not stop them from the work to which they are called. This strength and resolve and endurance in trials and tests and reviling is not from himself or of himself. This strength and this resolve comes from the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. That's where it comes from. And those who act honestly are those who will end up acting boldly. The righteous are bold as a lion. Those who come to hear the word of God must be willing to be told their faults. And they must take it kindly and be thankful for it. And they will disqualify themselves if they take offense. Christians do not take offense. And that's how you know real Christians. They do not take offense. It's hard to hurt a dead man. You ever think about that? It's hard to hurt a dead man. Have you been crucified with Messiah? Is the life you now live Christ? No longer you, but Christ living in you? Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward. Boy, what an explicit statement of how the court system works. The heads thereof judge for reward. Well, the whole political process works that way worldwide. Have you noticed? You've noticed, haven't you? The heads thereof judge for reward. And the priests thereof teach for hire. Local liar for hire. They're not teaching the word of God. They're giving the people what they want to hear. They're making the people feel good on their way to destruction. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divide for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? Is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high place of the forest. Hear this, you Shimon Peres, you Benjamin Netanyahu, you Ehud Omer, you Ehud Barak, hear this. Yeah, Shimon Peres, Barak, Netanyahu, Omer, they won't hear this. But I tell you this, God said so. Peres, your kingdom is taken from you and the handwriting is on the wall, you child of hell. You murderer and traitor to the people of Israel. Zion's walls are not built by men. Bloody hands and iniquity. The anger of man works not the righteousness of God. And yet, I'll tell you something, Brady. It's godly to be angry about the things that make God angry. It's godly to be angry about the things that anger God. The disobedience of the leaders of Israel makes me angry. It does. It's a righteous indignation. The sin of man works not the righteousness of God. Even when men do that which in itself is good, but they do it for filthy lucre, it becomes an abomination both to God and man. Faith rests in the Lord. The anchor of the soul will only hold fast in this coming storm if it grabs hold of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Word of God. Listen, I tell you this. There is a hellfire and doom for the wickedness of Jacob, especially the leaders of God's people. Yeah, especially. And therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. This was exactly fulfilled at the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. And there's coming a greater fulfillment any day now. Yeah, there will. If sacred places are polluted by sin, they will be destroyed and ruined by the judgments of God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.